Okay, we're going to look at a few verses from the first chapter of Ephesians. I think we're going to run right into the second chapter with a few verses. We'll try to keep this as short as we can. We'll begin with verse 16. Paul's speaking to the Christians in Ephesus. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Wouldn't it feel good to know Paul was praying for you, giving thanks for you? Well, if he begins this epistle to the saints, he's writing to the saints. So if you get into that company of the saints, then he's talking to you regardless of what age you're living in. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. So in his prayers, he's wanting them to receive the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. That doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't already have some of that wisdom and revelation, but it does mean that whatever they had needed to be increased. There's many different levels that revelation and wisdom can come on. Even the youngest ones in Christ have some awareness. The new world of God is beginning to open up, and they're beginning to see things they've never seen before, feel things they've never felt before. They're beginning to experience things in their heart they have never experienced before. But then as they grow a little bit, then that wisdom increases, the revelation increases, and as they move from one glory to another glory, there's an increase. And this is what Paul is praying about. That the spirit of wisdom. Now you notice he says the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. This is not natural wisdom. It is not a natural revealing of things in the realm of man, but this is a spirit that comes through the Holy Spirit, you see. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, I believe that the Greek reads a little more accurately by saying the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. So wherever you are in the Lord, there still needs to be some enlightenment. You don't get enlightened to the extent of what you need all at once. But there's a continual increase in the things of the Lord. I think that's a very, very important principle that all of us should need to know. We cannot afford to stop in our progress of moving toward God, because once we do, we'll lose everything we've got. He that has shall more be given. But he that has not, even that that he has shall be taken away. You see. So you either progress. Same thing they say about learning a new language. You use it or you lose it. That works in God too. The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Are you aware that God has a calling on your life? And we need to know what that calling is. How can you move into a calling? How can you have faith for it? How can you move toward it? How can you become it? Unless you have some idea what it is. That's why you need that spirit of revelation. You see. He says that you may know the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the saints. Just think about it. Our relationship with the Lord should be counted with Him as riches of the glory of His inheritance that He has in us. Now, if you look at verse 11 of the same chapter, it says, "In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, because we have been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." So there's an inheritance that we're in the process of receiving, or should be. But this verse down here, verse 18, is talking about His inheritance. We have an inheritance in God, and God is expecting an inheritance in us also. That's important to understand. Before you jump out into the world of sin, just remember, God is looking for the riches of the glory, of His inheritance in the saints. Now, I think it'd be good to point out here that in verse 1, Paul is writing to the saints that are in Ephesus. And he talks about the saints throughout this chapter. Verse 18 is looking for the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, the Greek word for saints is the exact same Greek word that is translated holy in Holy Spirit. So when Paul is talking about the saints, he's talking about the holy ones. He's not talking about somebody did a little repenting, got some forgiveness, and got a start, and then walked away. It's like he told the Galatians, "You were running well. What happened? Where'd you go? Suddenly you backed off of this thing." See, they were fickle. The saints that he's speaking to, they're not fickle. They're special types of Christians. Christians who realize they have an inheritance in the Lord, and they're doing everything that they can to enter into that inheritance. And when they enter into it a little bit, that's not enough. They want the full inheritance. And who's to know what the full inheritance is? No matter where you are in your inheritance, there's more. There's always more. And the Lord feels the same way. He's looking for the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, or in the holy ones. See, you stop and think, well, what are we going to get out of this walk with God? Well, what is God going to get out of it? See, there's a heritage in both directions. In verse 19, "What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward?" You know, the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. See, not unbelievers, but this is a greatness of His power to those who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. Wow. That same power that was worked in Christ is worked in the members of Christ. When you come to the New Testament like this and you see the word Christ, you mustn't just think of Jesus Christ as an individual, but you have to think of the many-membered Christ. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that Christ is a many-membered body, not just an individual. That if once you really grab a hold of that revelation, it'll change your whole way of thinking concerning eschatology, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, or out of the dead. You can relate this to His resurrection when he came forth from the grave, but I think you'd be a little bit closer to what Paul is talking about here if you realize you're the dead and that Christ is being raised up in you, out of you. And if we could really get this revelation and understand that this is the purpose of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ to come forth in your life and to rise up out of it. This is what John chapter 12 talks about, the seed that is cast into the earth and then the life that springs out of it. It's the seed of Christ that's cast into us. All right, which he wrought in Christ, that he greatness of power which he wrought in Christ, in the many members of Christ, when he raised him out of our deadness and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and has put all things under his feet, and all things are placed under his feet until he is raised up out of the deadness of what we are. And gave him to be head over all things. I got to scoot through this. Head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now that those last two verses there are important, but we want to look at the next two in chapter 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul is saying, if you're not in Christ, you're dead. That's scriptural language for anyone that's not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're dead. You see. But he's saying to these saints, you have been quickened. You have been made to come alive. And how did that happen? It happened up there in verse 20. When by his exceeding greatness of power toward us, that he came forth in our lives and he was raised up out of the deadness of what we are. That's what makes a saint. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course or according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, regardless of what you think yourself was before you came into Christ, you may think you were a very good person, morally good and everything, but that's not what the scripture says. That before you came alive in the Lord, you were walking according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's what we were. And I think it's important to know that, or you won't know what you are now and the change that has been taking place. Let's scoot down to all of this is so important. I recommend, we have a book. It's on the whole book of Ephesians, an exposition of Ephesians, verse by verse study. I would recommend that you get it if you really want to get into Ephesians. Look down to verse 6 of the second chapter, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about in verse 20 of chapter 1 and the first two verses in chapter 2. Verse 20, when he raises Christ out of the dead and we are quickened, made alive in him, and as he arises up out of the deadness of what we were and makes us alive in him. In this process, what is happening, we are being raised up together with him. Now, people when you start talking about the ascension of the Lord, they're thinking about, they always go back to when he came out of the grave, the literal earth, and ascended up. Here's the ascension right here, is when he comes forth in his saints. They are quickened, made alive in him, and out of the deadness of what they were, he is raised up. And we are raised up together with him and are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you notice that verse 6 is it's past tense all the way. That is something that happens now. That's not talking about rising up in the sky and going to a faraway place that you can label heaven. This is talking about walking in heaven, being raised up with him in heavenly places while your feet are still on the old terra firma, on the earth. And he does all this in order that, verse 7, that the ages to come, I think it's good to go to the Greek sometime. Greek order is different. That the ages, those which are coming, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. But see, you read this as it's translated in the King James here, that in the ages to come, one of these days, these ages are going to come. That's not what it says. In the Greek, it's written, the ages, those which are coming. In other words, those ages are coming right now. And as you're growing spiritually in the Lord, becoming his saints, you're going from glory to glory, from one age to another age. See, you're rising up. You're being seated together with him. And then don't misinterpret that where it says that we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, go to your Greek and see how that really reads. Because there's no sitting down. That's a continual walking, a continual increase. In Isaiah, it talks about Egypt who sits. Egypt sits. In other words, they don't make any progress. They don't grow. They don't change. We're going to change, not only right now from where we are, but as you're raised up together with him, and you continue to change. And these ages to come are the ages which are coming, which means there's constant change. Constant change. You know, when we began to experience the things that Paul is talking about here in this wonderful book of Ephesians, you'll begin to see your life completely different. You'll begin to see the world differently. You'll think differently about heaven. You'll find out you don't have to die to go to heaven. You can enter into a relationship with God and sit with him in heavenly places. And all this is worked by verse 8. For by grace... Here again, check the Greek. King James says, for by grace are you saved through faith. The Greek reads, for by grace are you being saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.